Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
I want to talk to you about what Francis Chan has just talked about in purpose of marriage and family. You know, today we're seeing so many kind of people focusing on family and you know, family's a good thing. You know, it's ordained by God. You know, God wants us to have family. But I think sometimes we can lose track of the purpose of family, mm-hmm. the purpose of a marriage. And when you lose the focus of the purpose, instead of as a believer, instead of worshiping God, you begin to worship the blessing that he brought into your life. You know, you didn't have a job. God gave you a job. Now you worship the job. You know, you pray for a spouse and God gave you a spouse, but now it's about the spouse and the marriage instead of about God. And Francis Chan talks about, listen, let's not focus on the marriage. Let's not focus on the family, but let's put our focus on the purpose. Why has God brought these two one? You know, we often talk about the will of God. You know, we're praying, Lord, what is your will? But it's not just important to know what God's will is. We need to know why is it his will. Mm. When we understand why, we'll do the things that he's called us to do. So let's go to Francis Chan as he begins to teach us and give us this wisdom. Watch this.
It's about this greater calling we have of serving God, this greater calling of making disciples, and marriage is a wonderful means to that end. But we have to be careful that we don't just focus on marriage, but that our marriages are focused and focused on the mission, on what God's called us to do. Because at the end of our lives, we could have a wonderful, happy marriage, and then at the end of our lives, God's not going to say to us, well done. That's not what he asked us to do. You know, he's going to say, well done, good and faithful servant, to those of us who are pursuing the things that he's called us to. And when we do that, that's what keeps it together. See, my desire is one day I want my wife, Lisa, to stand before God and for God to look at her. I mean, you understand what an intense moment that's going to be, to stand before a holy God. I mean, you and I right now are breathing because of this being who gave us life, who created us. And he says that all things were created by him and for him. He didn't make me so I would just walk this planet and enjoy my life and have a happy little marriage and happy little kids. He created me for something. And one day, I'm going to stand before that God. One day Lisa is going to stand before that God, and I love her so much that I want her to hear the words from God Almighty. Well done, my good and faithful servant. You're faithful with what I gave you down there, and now I'm going to put you in charge of so many things up here, because that's for eternity. See, that's the goal, and that's the goal that she has for me. She wants me to stand before God one day and say, well done. See, that's what this is about. Unbelievers. I mean, I know people who don't know Jesus that have wonderful marriages and happy marriages. But we've got to be focused on this mission. And when we focus on this mission, that's what makes our marriages so, so wonderful, so enjoyable. I mean, I tell you, I can't imagine life without Lisa. I can't imagine life without this woman. I can't imagine pursuing this mission of God without her. Because it really has changed everything. So I love talking about it. I love speaking about marriage. And it's just been an amazing thing. And I want to share a passage with you today that isn't the typical marriage passage. In fact, some have even seen this passage as anti-marriage. But to me, it's the secret to our marriage. And it's 1 Corinthians 7. And I say some see this as almost anti-marriage because in this passage, Paul's making an argument for being single. But if you understand the principle behind this passage, you realize, wow, this is the secret to it all. This is the secret to having a great marriage. 1 Corinthians 7, verse 29, Paul says this. This is what I mean, brothers. The appointed time has grown very short. From now on, let those who have wives live as though they had none. There's a great verse to start with, right? Or that Paul's saying from now on, okay, because time is short, from now on, those who have wives, you should live like you don't have a wife. What in the world is he talking about? This is the same Paul that tells us in Ephesians, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. But here in this context, he's saying, do you understand? Life is, this time is so short. The word is contracted. There's just a short period of time. It's the same thing Christ said where he says, the time is short or the time is at hand. Some of you may not know my testimony, but my mom actually died giving birth to me. And so that's why I moved out to Hong Kong. I was actually born in the States, but then I was sent off when I was like 2 weeks old to Hong Kong to grow with my grandmother. My dad couldn't take care of us all. So my mother died giving birth to me, which is an awesome thing. From what I understand, there were going to be complications, and she knew that ahead of time. But she says, you know what, I'll let God choose. And so that's like one of the most beautiful things in my life is to think that this woman gave her life so I could be here right now. That's insane. That's a legacy. And so I understand the brevity of life. I came back to the States because my dad had remarried. And I had my family back together again. But then when I was about 8 years old, my mother died in a car accident. My stepmom died in a car accident. My dad got married again. Yeah, he was a stud. My dad got married again. But then when I was 12, my dad died of cancer. So when I read this passage and it says, hey, look, it's not all about marriage. You understand, this time is short. And that means my mom, my stepmom, my dad, you know, by the time I was 12, they had all already come into the presence of God. For God to either say, well done, or to go, what did you do with your life? And so I look at this passage, I go, I know, I'm not expecting, you know, this long life and everything else. I've seen it pass right in front of my eyes. And there's something bigger, which is eternal. And we've got to understand that. And here he says that the appointed time is grown very short. Those who have wives, live as though they had none. Verse 30, those who mourn as though they were not mourning. Those who rejoice as though they were not rejoicing. And those who buy as though they had no goods. And those who deal with this world as though they had no dealings with it. For the present form of this world is passing away. He goes, this present form, you understand, whatever you're into, you can't get too into it because this earth in its present form is passing away. Do you understand that marriage, Scripture makes it very clear, is one of those things of this present form of earth. The Bible is very clear that we're not going to be married in heaven. My wife and I will not be married in heaven. Now, for some of you go, wow, that's depressing, right? You're looking at your spouse and going, that's depressing. Others of you going, that's kind of exciting. You know, no, I don't mean that. No, not here. But the truth is he says, you understand this world, its present form is passing away and there's something eternal. And he's saying the time is short. And it's about this mission. You got to get it. There's got to be a mission to your marriage. You both have to understand, look, here's what I'm on the earth to do. And Jesus made it really clear, didn't he? After he rose from the grave, he says, all authority's been given to me, and anyone who's been in church for a year or two has heard it and probably memorized it. Go and make disciples of all nations. Go, make disciples. You obey everything that I commanded you, and then you teach others to obey everything that I commanded you. When God gives us a command, we study it, we memorize it, but how many of us actually do it? I mean, how many disciples have you made? You know, I'm constantly encouraging my wife. I'm like, oh, you're such a great mentor. You could reach out to this neighbor or that neighbor, lead them to the Lord. You know, you can be an example. We've always had people living in our house ever since we were married, just so they could see and so we could really disciple them because we thought, this house doesn't belong to us. It belongs to God. And so if people need a place to stay, let them stay here. And let's give them an example of a Christian marriage. Let's give them an example of a Christian family. A dad who loves his kids, a mom who loves her kids, mom and dad who love each other, because so many people have never seen that. And let's make disciples. Let's train people up. You know, it's just so strange to me what we do in church sometimes with the commands of God. When you were a kid, remember playing Simon Says, you know, or Follow the Leader. Remember Follow the Leader? Some of you that are younger never played it because you can't get the app on your iPhone. But it was something physical. We used to go out and play, you know, we used to move. And you remember Follow the Leader, you know, leader jumps, you jump, you know, or Simon says, pat your head, and you pat your head. It's so weird how in the church we change everything. In the church, you know, follow Jesus has become a different game where in following Jesus, you don't actually have to do what he does. You just have to study it. Jesus says is completely different from Simon says. If Jesus says something, you just have to memorize it or study it. What about making disciples? What about actually becoming like Jesus? Man, I've got four kids, and if I asked one of my kids, if I told my oldest daughter, hey, Rachel, go clean your room. And what if she comes back to me, you know, an hour later and goes, Dad, I memorized what you said. I can quote it verbatim. In fact, I can say it in the Greek now. She knows I'm not going to go, oh, that's awesome, baby. Or if she says, Dad, I had a bunch of friends over and we did a little study on what it would look like if we cleaned my room. Here's all the notes. It's going to be a 5-week study. You guys, she knows that doesn't fly with me. You guys, why were these commands given? Was it for us to memorize and study and on and on and on and just study them to death? And then at the end of our lives, we're going to go, God's going to say, wait, I asked you to make disciples. I asked you to baptize. How many people did you lead to the Lord? How many people did you teach to obey everything? Because that's what I asked you to do while you were on that earth. And so my wife and I, what we do is we keep each other focused on that. Because this world in its present form is passing away. We've got to love each other beyond this earth. We've got to love each other eternally. And see, I'm focused on who you're going to be before God. And I can't wait till we're walking around together with Him forever. That's the focus here. Verse 32, Paul continues and he says, I want you to be free from anxieties. He says, the unmarried man is anxious about the things of the Lord, how to please the Lord. But the married man is anxious about worldly things, how to please his wife, and his interests are divided. And the unmarried or betrothed woman is anxious about the things of the Lord, how to be holy in body and spirit. But the married woman is anxious about worldly things, how to please her husband. I say this for your own benefit, not to lay any restraint upon you, but to promote good order and to secure your undivided devotion to the Lord. Paul was making a case for being single. He says, I've seen married couples. They get so into each other and their focus is, oh, how do I please my husband? How do I please my husband? How do I please my husband? And the men are all, oh, how do I please my wife? He goes, and their interests are divided. He goes, but I've seen the single man, the single woman, and they've got this undivided devotion to the Lord. They're just focused. What does God want me to do? What does He want me to do on this earth? See, the goal, though, at the end of it is to secure your undivided devotion to the Lord. Here's the goal. God says, Paul says, I want every single individual just to have this undivided devotion to the Lord. I want you focused on Him, focused on what He's called you to do, what He's made you to do, focused on eternal things. This undivided devotion to the Lord, I want you to think. What do you think about during a given day? Do you spend time thinking about family affairs or the Lord's affairs? Thinking about what God wants you to do as a family, or just thinking about your family? Because I'm telling you, if you focus on the mission of God, that's what brings this whole thing together. There have been so many crazy ideas that the Lord has put in my mind, uncomfortable things that the Lord has put in my mind over the years, and to have someone support me. You know, after being married a couple months, to say, you know, I think we should let other people live with us. It's not a normal thing. Every time I said, you know what, I think we should just give everything we have away. I know, let's just empty the bank account because here's a need. And to see her respond and go, that's a little scary to me. Can you just trust me this time? Watch how good God is. And then time and time again, she's seeing God's blessing. And to have someone support me in that, encourage me in that. I remember coming back from Africa and seeing the poverty over there the first time and just coming home to my wife and go, I'm such a mess right now. I love these little kids I met, and I can't live in this house anymore. I feel like we should just give away as much as we can. Here's a mom, of, you know, who's got her home, and to say, I think we should just start looking at trailer parks, start looking at cheapest thing we can find. If we're going to take this book seriously about love your neighbor as yourself. And I told her, I go, you know what, but I don't want to just make this decision. I want you to come to Africa with me. I want you to see what I've seen because I think you'll agree with me. And she says, no, I trust you. I don't need to go there yet. And for her just to, the next day, start walking around a trailer park, going, is this where we move our family? And finally move them into this tiny house. And here's this mother of four, this tiny house. We've taken a couple other people. And she's just rolling with it. And she goes to Africa with me, you know, after the fact. And she goes, wow, if I saw this, I wouldn't have even fixed up the house. I go, exactly. This is insane. To coming home one day and go, man, there's this lady at the rescue mission, and she's got three kids, and she's pregnant. And I don't know how in the world you're going to have a baby in a rescue mission and take care of your other three kids. How are they ever going to get back on your feet? I go, I'm thinking maybe they should live with us. And have a wife that goes, that's weird. I was praying this morning, like, God, what do you want us to do with that extra room over there? And I go, well, she doesn't speak English, and I haven't even met her. And I just heard about her, and she goes, well, let's drive down to the rescue mission right now. And have a wife to drive down the rescue mission and talk to this lady. And it's like, hola, mi casa tu casa. You know, you know, trying to communicate. You guys, I'm telling you, it's been nuts. And this journey we've been on, and God's been so good to us. But it's not about this life. It's about being effective in this life.
I love it. I love Francis Chan. It's not about this life. It's about being effective in this life. Listen, it's not about the American dream. It's not about the home and the house. It's about God. It's about the purposes of God. And I love this because this is so true. Why has God allowed those relationships in your life? Mm-hmm. Why has God allowed you to be at that job, live in that neighborhood, be married to that person, or be single? It's all for His purposes. And when we make the focus anything else, we run the temptation of making it an idol and serving it instead of serving God. Listen, life is but a vapor. We're here for a very short, short time, and then it's over with. And like the Word of God says, you're not even going to be married in heaven. And Malachi 2:15 says that the purpose for godly the purpose of marriage is for godly offspring. That's the whole purpose. It's so that a godly offspring will come out of this union, out of this relationship. Is it just physical godly offspring, or is God allowing you two to come together so that you can actually have offspring in the kingdom of God? Listen, God's given us a mission, every single believer, and He told us in Matthew 28 what it is. It's to go into all the world, everywhere we live and have life and have fun, and make disciples, make followers of Jesus Christ. Listen, I want to encourage you. We want to encourage you. Do what we're doing here at the Dream Center. We are making disciples. We've prepared in advance, and we're preparing and bringing people into a place where they can become a disciple and also a discipler of others. Join us on the Emmaus Road. You know, when Jesus was talking to the disciples, when he died on the cross, he comes back and he disguised himself so that they wouldn't recognize him. And ultimately, you know the story, you know, Jesus reveals himself to them, but their hearts were burning as he was talking to them. Well, we've put together a plan, if you will. It's called the Emmaus Road. And we want to encourage you. I want you to get on the road with us. It's an opportunity for you yourself to become a disciple. In fact, I want you to see, you can go to vinefellowshipnetwork.org and go to Hello Church, and you'll see a prompt for the Emmaus Road. And when you see it, click on it, and maybe you want to participate with us. It's once you go down this path and down this road, it's designed for you to encounter God every step of the way, and also for you to help other people. That's the whole point. You don't have to be a master disciple, if you will. You don't have to be a perfect follower. But once you become a follower, you can help other people along this path. And there's nothing more beautiful, nothing more enduring in all eternity is to help someone not only come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, but become a true disciple, one that follows Jesus in everything. This is what we're here for. This is the purpose of our life. And Steve, there's no greater purpose. Mm. We want to encourage you to jump on this road with us, and let's bring so many people down this path to come into this awesome relationship with Jesus.
You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN TV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFN TV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light.